daf is daf kuf ches. Firstly, I want to thank Dr. Eli Fien from Atlanta. He's sponsoring today's daf. He listens online. So thank you to Dr. Fien. So the daf begins as follows. We are four lines down. The Gemara begins, Chayev of v'chulu. So the Gemara had said, we're talking about a wild animal and a bird. So the Mishnah was talking about if a person makes in terms of catching, you catch these animals since they're already in your rishus. If you already own them, they're your pets, and they're already caught, there's no such thing as catching an animal that's already caught. And we also said that hachovahen, one who caused it to have a cut or a wound, would be chayev for chavala on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, a very interesting discussion now, that Amar Rav Huna kosvin tefillin al gabe or shel of tahor. You're allowed to write tefillin using the skin of a bird, of a kosher bird. You could use the animal skin as a cloth. So Amar Rav Yosef, my kamash v'lam, what's the chiddush? This lay or? We learn from here that has an or, that the bird skin is called an or. You could ride in it. What's the chiddush? We already know that. Tanina hachova behem chayiv. We already learned in the Mishnah, anytime there's chavala, that means you cause a black and blue mark to the animal. So if there's a skin that's keeping the blood within, that means it's a chavala. So the very fact that the Mishnah says if you give a chovel, an oaf, on Shabbos, your chayiv must be that oaf already has a skin. So what's a chiddush that it has an or legabe tefillin? Once it has a skin legabe hilchos Shabbos, mimele it has a skin legabe hilchos tefillin as well. What's the chiddush? So Amarle Abai says, tuva kamash v'lam. We learn a lot from here. Dimi Masnisin, how we had the Mishnah, Havamina, we would have thought Kaven is bein nikve nikve, since there are a lot of holes in the skin of the bird. Lo, maybe it'll be disqualified for the writing of the tefillin. Kamash balon kedami b'marava, like they would say in the West in Eretz Yisrael, kol nekev shehadio overes alav eino nekev. Any ink that's able to pass over a hole, it's good. Meaning, granted, I agree that the bird's skin has a lot of holes, but since the holes are so small, the ink's able to pass over it and complete it, therefore, that's considered a good skin to be used for the writing of the tefillin. It covers up, exactly. It covers up and you won't notice the hole. So even though this din is talking about a mezuzah, a tefillin rather, the Meiri says the same exact halacha applies to mezuzah and Sefer Torah as well, you're allowed to use a bird skin. The question is, so then why does the Gemara only specify that of tefillin if the same exact halacha applies to mezuzah and Sefer Torah? So the number of different answers here, I don't have time to get into it. The Meiri says because we learned earlier that the different parts of the skin that may be used for tefillin versus mezuzah, I mean the outer part of the skin and there's the inner part of the skin. So the inner part of the skin, which is used for mezuzah and Sefer Torah, that has less holes. The outer part of the skin, which is used for tefillin, that has more holes. So the chiddush is, even though you're using the outer part of the skin for tefillin, which has more holes, the chiddush is even that would be allowed, would be acceptable for the use of tefillin. There are a few other answers that are brought down as well. Either way, yeah. It's not used, practically no one does it, but yeah. So the Gemara then says, Meisive. Rabbi Zera, he quotes a pasuk, it says, b'knafav, it says, shisa elsa b'knafav. When it comes to an oaf, on the being used as a carbon, you have to break the wings of it. You leave the feather still on, but you snap the knuff of the wings. Why? Lahach she'esa or, in order to allow the or, the skin, to be used, to be put on the mizbeach. Now, v'yitzhak adaitach orhu, if one were to think that the or of a bird is really considered or, heichamar b'leikra. How could you allow that to be used as an ola? There's a klal. When it comes to a behemoth animal, you need to be mafshit or you need to skin the animal. You cannot put the or on the mizbeach. So just like you can't put the or of the behemoth on the mizbeach, so too you shouldn't put the or of an oaf on the mizbeach. So how could the pasuk include the or of an oaf on the mizbeach? It must be the or of an oaf is not or. That's why it's acceptable. Or of an oaf must be basar. Only basar goes on the mizbeach, not or. So again, if knafav is lahakshas or, the word knafav is coming to include it, it's kosher to put the or of the bird on the mizbeach, it must be that it's not or. Because the itzakadaitach, again, back in the Gemara, orhu, if you really think the skin of a bird is called or halakhali, heichemar bilakra, how could you include that on the mizbeach? The or is never included on the mizbeach. Amalei Abai says, orhu, it is or. However, Rachman and Rabia, it's a chiddush. There's a chiddush. You're right. It's called or, but the Torah has a special pasuk that says there's an exception where we do allow the or of an oaf to be placed on the mizbeach. Ikadami, others say, Amar Rebbe Zera, Af Ananami Tanina. We also learn in the Mishnah, the Knafav Lerabos Es Haor. That's a similar conversation here, that the word Knafav comes to include the skin of a bird can be placed on the mizbeach. Now, Iyamis, if you understand, Bishamai understand, Hai or, who, that the skin of a bird is considered or. That's why Hainu Ditzre Krala Ribuye. That's why you need a pasuk. Because had you not that pasuk, you would have said that or of an oaf may not be used. So that's why you need a Gzeret HaKasav to include the or of an oaf. It's this chiddush that you could put it on the Mizbeach because it really is or. Eli'i Amrit Lav Orhu. If you're going to contend that the or of an oaf is not or, it's not skin, Amai Itzre Kro. Why do you need a pasuk the Ribuye? It's not or. There's no need to teach it. It's just it's regular basar. Of course the basar of the or oaf goes on the Mizbeach. So Amrlei Abai says Liolam Emelacha Lav Orhu. Really, the skin of a bird is not considered or halachically, and that's why it's acceptable on the mizbeach. Vitzrich, and the reason why you need a pasuk to allow you to put it on the mizbeach, even though it's not really or, because Saka Daita Chamina would have thought came into Isbe part pirti since it has pirti which is a holes. Rashi explains mois. It's disgusting from the mizbeach. It's just not acceptable. It's not considered fit for the mizbeach. Kamash Milan, though, even though it has holes in it, we still allow it, and the din is that the or of the oaf should be put on the Mizbech. So what comes out from this Gemara is there are two opinions. Lamaisa, is the or of an oaf considered or not an or? So everyone agrees the or of the oaf goes on the Mizbech. That's for sure. It's a possible. But the question is, how do we categorize it? And the nafkamina is, can you use it as tefillin? If it is considered or, you can write tefillin on it. If it's not considered or, then you may not write tefillin on it. As Ricky asked before, how do you paskin? You just see from the Ein Mishpat above earlier, it's brought down in the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to write tefillin on the or of an oaf. Let's keep going. The Gemara now says, Bay mine mar brei dravina merav nachman bar yitzchak. Mal lichtov tefillin al gabe or shel dag tahor. Can you write tefillin on a kosher fish, the skin of a kosher fish? Would that be considered acceptable? So the Gemara explains as follows, that Amalei im yavo Eliyahu, very interesting Gemara, im yavo Eliyahu v'yomar, if he tells us we could use it. So what does that mean? My im yavo Eliyahu v'yomar, what does it mean if he comes and tells us we could use it? Idi isle or, if he's going to tell us whether it has skin or doesn't have skin, we don't need Eliyahu Hanavi to tell me that. Chazina disle or, we could see that there clearly is skin of a fish. Every fish has skin you could skin off. So we don't need Eliyahu to tell me that. That's question number one. The ode, moreover, Hatzan, the Mishnah says, Atmos hadag v'oro matzilin b'ohel hames, that the bones and the skin of a fish protect from ohel hames. Now, the basar of the fish does not protect from ohel hames. If I have a dead body in the room, and I cover it with fish, the fish itself, the basar of the fish, that basar of the fish itself will become tame. It can't protect the item it's covering. But the skin of the fish can protect, which means the skin of the fish is not the same as basar. So clearly we see, firstly, b'mitzius, that there is an or of fish. Number two is, halachically, we see that the or is separate from the basar. So what is the question we need to know whether or not Eliyahu comes to tell us? So the Gemara says, Ela, im yavo Eliyahu v'yomar, I paske zuma mine, I lo paske zuma mine. What Eliyahu tells us whether or not the zuma will stop or not stop. There's zuma. The fish smells disgusting. There's a lot of grossness in the fish. He'll tell us whether it will stop or not stop. Wouldn't he will stop or not stop? What's that question? So there's two pshatim here. Some rishonim say that when you prepare the skin, you know, when you prepare the cloth of an animal, you have to prepare it. So when you process it, you prepare it. Will that have the ability to remove the zuma of the fish or not? That's what we don't know. Or some say, we know that the Gemara says, but when the Klai Yisrael were at Har Sinai, the zuma of the nachash that had infested Chava and infested Am Yisrael, that was removed. So the question is, when Mashiach comes, will that zuma of the fish, will that be removed or not removed? That's the question from Eliyahu Nav. So the question, becomes an interesting Gemara here, because we see Eliyahu Navi is being suggested how to paskin Chaylas, but we say, Lo B'Shemayim, it's not B'Shemayim. We don't ask Eliyahu Navi questions in Shemaim. It's based on what Rabbanim paskin. We ignore Eliyahu Navi, legali p'sak halacha. So how could it be suggested we're going to ask Eliyahu what's going to be the p'sak halacha here? So the answer, the Mishnah Melech answers among other poskim, other Rishonim and Mefarshim, is that we could ask him Shailas in Mitzias. In p'sak halacha, how do you paskin? That we can't ask him. It's up to us. But in terms of Mitzias, sometimes we don't know the Mitzias of things. This is called disgust. This is Zuma. It's not called Zuma. Mitzias, we can ask questions, and that's allowed. But in terms of Psak Halacha, that you can ask. So that just becomes part of a general discussion of when we use Eliyahu Navi as a Psak Halacha, when we cannot. There are other Gemaras where we do rely on Eliyahu Navi to paskin Shilas for us. So one of the answers, Chassam Sofer has a fascinating tshuva. I'll just say a regular achas. He says, Eliyahu Navi comes in two types of ways. Sometimes he comes as a malach, Sometimes he comes as a person. So Chassam Sofer says, depends on what he's coming at. If he comes as a malach, that's lo b'shamayim. We don't trust malachim. If he comes as a person, as a human being, which he does oftentimes come, then you can trust the p'sak halacha. That's Chassam Sofer's understanding.
So let's say in today that there are processes to take out the smell, you would be able to use it.
Unclear. We don't know. We don't know how you define Zuma. So, fine. So then the Gemara says, last four or five narrow lines of Kufches Amun Aleph here. The Gemara says, interesting ma'isa of Shmuel v'Karna. These two individuals, Shmuel v'Karna, have a yasri aguda denar malka. They're sitting at the riverbanks of the river called denar hamelch, the king's river of some sort. Chazina l'maya de kadali v'achiri. They saw that the river was creating waves, and there was very dirty waves of water. So Amar le Shmuel v'Karna, Shmuel says to Karna, gaver rabba ka'asim mi'marava. There's a great rabbi coming from the west, traveling to Bava through this the river's king, the king's river. V'chayish b'meya, and he's got a stomachache. V'kadali maya l'kabule apikame, and the water is protecting him from some sneeze. In other words, he was using the bathroom, he was going off the side of the boat because he had a stomachache, but the wave moved up, created a wall around him, so no one would have to see him, so there wouldn't be any busha. That's what he was able to interpret from the dirty waves that were heading towards Bava. Zil taile anakne. Go check it out. Let's smell the jar. Let's smell the bottle, which means let's test it out with them right. Azil, they went and tried to see where the waves were coming from. And Ashkechei the Rav. Yeah, they talk. They saw the great tzaddik that Rav was coming on a boat. So Amar Lei, so Karna asks Rav, Minayin shein kosin tefillin ela al gabi or behema b'tor. What's the source that you can only write tefillin on kosher animal hide? Amar Lei, so Rav says, Dichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, the man tiyeh taras Hashem b'ficha, that the tefillin, the function of tefillin is so that a person should have Torah in his mouth. What's the connection b'ficha? So the drasha is, min ha-mutter b'ficha, you could only write tefillin on that which is mutter to be eaten, such as a kosher animal. So minayin ledam, he asks another question, shu adam, how do you know blood is red? Shenemar v'ayiru mo'av mineged es ha-mayim adumim kadam, that water is as red as blood. So we see blood is clearly red, and it's referring to dam nida. So the Marzkias asks an interesting question, why do you need to have a pasuk to tell me dam is red? We know. So, ever read that book, Torah and Science? Rav Meiselman has a fat book, Torah and Science. Yeah, exactly. It's in Torah, Mo. So he writes, the reason why we have psukim like this, from what I recall, is because even the obvious, it doesn't become obvious until a pasuk. Everything must be proven by the pasuk. You can't just take things for granted. But the Maariv Chiya says otherwise. He says, no, it's not. We don't need a pasuk. At the same time, just like we have a klal, that the Torah sometimes, even though there's a kal v'chomer, tarech v'kasav lakra. The pasuk goes out of its way to write even that which is obvious, that which is learned from Svar and Kal v'chomer. Here as well, even though it's pashut that the blood is red, and nonetheless the pasuk does sometimes go out of its way to write that which is obvious and unnecessary. So you don't really need a pasuk to prove every point, but still the pasuk does mention every point. The Gemara then says, Vaiter, another question Karna had asked Rav, Minayin l'mila b'osa makom. How do you know the mila is the makom and osa makom, that area that we know the mila takes place? Ne'mar kan, he says it's a gzer shava. It says with respect to Mila and Parshas Tazria, Arlaso v'nemar lahalan Arlaso. It says lagabe Arla of 3 years. The first 2 years you can't eat the fruit of a fruit tree. So Arlaso there, it says Arlaso by Basar, by Mila. Malahalan, just like by Arla, the first 2 years, Davar She'osa Pri, it's something that creates Pri, it produces something. Afkan so too, Davar She'osa Pri, here too, the Arla is a place where it produces children. So Eimel of Libo. So maybe it should be from the Arla slave. Maybe Arla by Basa should be learned from Arla of a lave. A different pasuk, it says, Dichsiv umaltim es Arlas levavchem, and you remove the Arla, the tumah from your heart. Or maybe it should be learned Ema Ozno. Maybe Arla Dichsiv hine Arla Ozam. Meaning the word Arla is used sometimes by the heart, sometimes by the ears. Who says Davka be'osamakam? Maybe it should be a different part of the body. It says Arla in many, many different organs of the body. So the Gemara says, because Dunin Arlaso Tama, Marlaso Tama, we use Arlaso where it's a pure word, Arlaso where it's an exact word exchange. So it says Arlaso by Mila, Arlaso by Arla of the first 3 years of fruit. But Ain Dunin Arlaso Tama, Marlas She'eno Tama. But you don't use it from Arlas where it doesn't say Arlaso, but simply says Arlas. That's a different type of word, and you cannot make such a Gzer Shava if the option of the exact word is available, which it is, and that's why we have that Gzer Shava. So then Amar Lei, Rav, after being quizzed a number of questions by Karna, Mashimcha, he asks Karna, what's his name? He says Karna. So Amar Lei, Rav says to him, Ravya, Yiratzon, that means, the tepik le karna be'ena, you should have a keren go into your eye, a horn into your eye. It's quite the curse. Why? Because Rav sensed that karna was trying to test him. Rabbis don't like being tested. So Rav sensed he was being tested, so Rav gave him a curse. Lasof, in the end of the day, Aile Shmuel Abesa, Shmuel brought Rav to his own house. Shmuel was living in Bavel, he brought Rav to his house. And Ochle Nahama de Sara fed him some barley bread for Kasat de Harsan and some type of fatty fish. And Ashke Shichron gave him some beer to drink. Velo Achrile Beis Akisa, he didn't show him the bathroom. Kihecha de Lishalshe, so he should have Shilshel and not have to go to the bathroom. He wanted to clean out the system of some sort and lied to Rav, and Rav cursed him for not showing him the bathroom. The Amar Man the Mitzarin Lo Lok Me Le Banai. And he says, the person who doesn't show me the bathroom, who's causing me such tsar, giving me such pain in my stomach, you know, if you've got a stomach ache, show me the bathroom, you should not have any children. V'chein hava, that was the end. Shmuel only had two daughters who themselves had some issues with the Gemara and Gittin. They went to witchcraft. They used to use their hands to mix pots of soup, and they got captured. A fascinating story in the Gemara and Gittin with them. But Shmuel had no children, no sons, rather, based on the curse of Rav here. You see, by the way, I think it was... Rav Pinkus, maybe, Rav Palm, I forget which one, they're very makbid. No, it was Rav Avigdor Miller, who was very makbid. Whenever he had a guest at his house, he'd always first thing he'd say, here's the bathroom. It's embarrassing to ask for the bathroom. Yeah, come to my house, here's the bathroom, here's the food, make yourself comfortable. So I'm not sure it's based on this Gemara or just based on his intuition of Derech Eretz. So either way, the Gemara goes right there and says, Ketanai, this is Machlokas Tanai. Minayin the Milas Shubosa Makum. How do you know? We saw above, how do you know that the Milas Bosa Makum? Shenemar Khan Arlaso, Venemar Lahalan Arlaso. It says by Arlov 3 years, the first 3 years were fruit tree, the Arlaso, Malahalan, like we saw above, Shadavar Shosapri, that a tree creates fruit. So to Afkan, Davar Shosapri, Divre Rabbi Yoshia, that the makum of the Brismila is the makum that creates pri. Rabbi Nasan Omer, he says, Einotar, you don't need that Gzer Shava. Harayu Omer, it says in the Pasuk, with respect to Avram Avinu in the Mila, the Ariel Zachar Shaloimal es Besar Arlaso. That the when you don't give a mila to a zachar, to a male, so it's indicated that b'makom shenika bein zachar l'nekevus is the area of the body where it's recognizable, it's discernible between man and female, that's b'oso makom. So Tanur Rabbanan, the Brayso now says, v'ayter kosvin tefillin al gabe or behema Torah, you can write tefillin on kosher animal skin, v'al gabe or chaya Torah, whether it's a behema or whether it's a chaya, they have to be kosher. Vagabi or nevelus v'trefel shelahen. They don't have to be shechted properly. They just have to be a kosher type of species. But if it's a nevel or a trefel, that's also acceptable. A nevel and trefel, just to be clear, that those are kosher animals. Nevel that it died and it wasn't shechted properly. Trefel is where it had some type of injury that couldn't live for more than 12 months. For example, the most common one is a punctured lung. As long as it's a cow or a kosher animal, a goat or a sheep, that can be used. The skin can be used for tefillin. Nichrachos Bisarin, we wrap certain parts of the box and the hair. If you know the boxes, if you look the way it's sewed together, it's stitched together with the hair of a kosher animal hair. The halacha Lamosh Sinai, we have another halacha that Shatfilm Nichrachos Bisarin with Pars Begidim, that the way you have it wrapped together with hair and you have it sewed with the sinews or their hair and the sinews, oftentimes you see the end, I think all the batim, a little bit of the hair sticks out a little bit, so there's hair and there's also the gid and the sinews. All that comes from kosher animals. Aval ein kosin lo agabe or behemet tmei. You cannot use a non-kosher animal. Aval ein kosin lo agabe or behemet tmei. You can't use a non-kosher animal skin. Lo agabe or chay tmei, nor a non-kosher chaya, a wild animal. Vein tzarech lomer, needless to say, agabe or nevela trefa shalan, needless to say, a nevela, or trefa of those non-kosher animals. That's just the unnecessary point. Vein nichrachen b'saran, vein nisparos begidin. Nor can you use their hair or their sinews in order to sew and stitch everything together. So v'zush she'ela shal baitusi echad es Yeshua haGarsi. He came from Garsi, or some say he actually used to make grisin. That's what he did as a profession. So the question by this particular baitusi had asked Rabbi Yeshua haGarsi is minayin she'ein kosvin tefillin al or behemet tmei. How do you know you can't write tefillin on non-kosher animal hide? Dichsiv, it says, like we saw earlier, leman itiya Torah Hashem beficha, that Torah should be beficha, meaning midavar hamuter beficha, that which is permitted to be eaten, a kosher animal. Ella, meat, if that's the case, agabe or nevelus v'trefos al yikasu. You shouldn't eat, you rather you shouldn't write on a kosher animal skin that was a nevela trefa. That's also not edible, even though it comes from the species that are kosher. But lamaisa, it was a nevela. Lamaisa was a trefa, so it's not edible. It's not mutter beficha. So Amar Lo, Rabbi Yeshua says to this Baitusi, Em Shalucha Mashal Lama Davar Damar. Let me compare this to you and you'll understand. The Shnei Bnei Adam, two people, Shenes Chayvu Hariga L'Malchus. Both of them were given a death sentence from the kingdom. Echad Hargo Melech, one was killed by the king. Echad Hargo Isbaklitur, one was killed by the butcher. Ezim and Meshubach, which is a better type of killing, which is a little bit more, not that either one is nice, but Havi Omer, Zeh Shehargu Melech, the one that was killed by the king, that's a little bit higher standard. He made it such a high level that the king killed him. So if you look at the connection, look at Rashi. Rashi says here, towards the bottom, says Zeh Shehargu Melech, Veilu Laku Ayidei Boron. They were, in other words, they were injured by the Creator Hashem Himself. So that was a stronger form, a more severe punishment. And so therefore, a behema that was not kosher from the beginning, that Kadosh Baruch Hu said was a behema tamea, that is going to be a more severe, more type of psul, as opposed to nevela trefa that was punished by a man himself. That the din will be, it's not as severe, and therefore it's acceptable if it's a kosher animal that was a trefa or nevela by man. So Gemara says, El Miata, if that's the case, if it's not so bad being a tray for Nevela, that as long as it's a kosher animal, El Miata, Yechalu. So eat the animal. Why isn't it kosher? So it says, Amr Lai, because the Torah says so. Torah Amra, Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela, Vat Amr Yechalu. You want to try to eat it if the Torah says not to eat it? Amr Lai, Kalus. Okay, that makes sense. In other words, in terms of levels of severity, the greatest psul would be Behemoth Tameah. That's why it's not acceptable for Tefillin. A lesser level, which was disqualified by man, which is an avail and trefa, that's a lower level. So although we can eat it, it's still not considered that off, that disqualified. It's not inherently possible, and that's why it's acceptable to write tefillin on top. Okay, the new Mishnah says the beginning, the last line of the Amud here, Ein Osen Hilmi. Hilmi is a very high concentrated salt water. You can't make Hilmi b'Shabbos. It's a type of refuah, possibly. It's also the way a person ibud, of tanning leather, they put a lot of salt on it. So it also might be an issue of ibud. So the Gemara explains, aval osa hu es me'amelch, but you can't make me'amelch. So the Gemara is going to explain that, it just said you can't make me'amelch. Now it says you can't make me'amelch. So the Gemara is going to explain that you can make low-concentrated salt water, not highly concentrated salt water. And v'tovu ben espito, you could dip into salt water your bread, v'nosin l'tocha tavshil, and you could place a little bit of salt in your tavshil, in your food that you're eating. So comes along Amar Rabbi Yossi, Halohu Hilmi Beim Ruba Beim Muat. Isn't Hilmi, whether or not it's a lot or a little, either way, it's salt water. You can't make any salt water. The Gemara is going to ask the question, is Rabbi Yossi saying, and therefore they're both Aser? Or does he say, therefore they're both Mutter? The Gemara is going to ask what Rabbi Yossi is trying to teach us. V'eilu hein me'amelch. And you know what's me'amelch mutarin, says Rabbi Yossi? You know what's Mutter salt water? Nosin shemen lichadchila. First, if you pour oil in the water, do you have water? Then you put oil in, and then l'tocha mayim, o l'tocha melech, and then you put either the oil inside the water or oil inside the salt, and then Rabbi Yossi would allow you to make salt water on Shabbos. The reason being is because the salt water, or rather the oil present, doesn't allow the salt water to mix well because the oil is there, and it also, apparently, it decreases the potency of the salt as well, so it's not really going to be a very concentrated salt, even if there were to be a lot of salt. That's the mission. So Gemara now says, this is a daf that moves pretty quick now. We have 15 minutes till davening begins. So my kamer, what's saying in the Mishnah? It says, you can't make Hilmi, but you can make Mei Melech. Can you make salt water? Can you not make salt water? So Amar Shmuel Hachi Kamar, Ein Osen Mei Melech, Merubin, Aval Osa Hu Mei Melech, Muatim. You can't make a lot of salt water, which means a lot of salt. You can't put a lot of salt in, but you can put a little bit of salt in it. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Valohu Hilmi, Bein Merubin, Mei Muatim. Rabbi Yossi says, who cares how much salt water you put in? How much salt, rather? Either way, it's salt water. So Ibailu, the Gemara asks the question, Rabbi Yossi le'eser or lehater? When he says they're both equal, does he mean they're both equally aser, or does he mean they're both equally mutter? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda lehater, he says that they're both equally mutter, midilokatani Rabbi Yossi oser. The fact that Rabbi Yossi doesn't say they're aser implies that the stam would be that they're both mutter. So Amar le'rabba, Rabba says that can't be. Hamidikatani sefer, from the fact that the sefer continues in the words of Rabbi Yossi and says, ve'ilu hein me'mach mutarim, these are the ones that are mutter, does that not imply, Michlal, that what he had said before, Rabbi Yossi was le'eser? That he was saying, Halo hein hilmi bein meruba bein mu'atim are aser. And the following is mutter. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo amar rabba le'eser. V'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan le'eser. That Rabbi Yossi says, whether it's a lot of salt or a little bit of salt, they're both aser. And the only time it's mutter is when you first put oil in either first the water, or you put the oil first in the salt, and then you mix it together. Tanya.
When the Mishnah says,
That's Rabbi Yossi continuing his statement. Tatani Nami Hachi, the Brisa says the same thing. Ain osin me melech merubin lasais latocha hakvashin shivasocha gisra. You can't make salt water to place inside of some type of fruit that you're pickling, which is being held inside some type of broken pottery. That's how they would make the pickles, I guess. About what you can do is also hu me melech muatim. You can make very lightly concentrated salt water. Veocha ben pito and eat it with your bread. Venosin lo toch tafshil or pour it into your tafshil. That's all the Tanakhama. But Amar Rabbi Yosi v'chemi b'nei shehalu berubim v'halu muatim halu asurin v'halu mutarim. Because the amount of salt you put in, that's going to dictate whether it's asur or mutar. Yomu melacha meruba asura melacha muatis mutaris. A lot of melacha would be asur, but a little bit of melacha would be mutar. We never have that you could write two letters is allowed, but five letters isn't allowed. You could do the two seeds is allowed, but five seeds isn't allowed. That he felt it would be unclear. It's never a difference of size of the melacha. Elu elu asur, they're both asur, putting salt in water. The elu hein me melach hamutarim. What's mutar? Nosin shemen umelach. Oh, shemen umayim ubevad shlo yitain mayim umelach lechachila. As long as you don't put water and salt together first, then you're allowed to first put the oil, and then it would be allowed. We don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. We assume like the Tanakhama that you can make low concentrated salt water. So the Gemara then says, quote to Simon and Nemanak here, Ozen Tznon V'eser, Simon. So Tani Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Chaviva. Ein Osin Me Melech Azan, you can't make a strong, potent, concentrated salt water. Me Melech Azan, how do you define this? So Rabba, Rav Yos, my Me Melech Azan, what's considered strong salt water? Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, Bar Abba, Damir Tavaya, both of them hold. If it's so highly concentrated where the egg is going to float on top of the water, like in the Dead Sea, that's the definition of a highly concentrated salt water. The kama, how much is that? Give us some quantities here. So I'm going to buy a tray, tilse milcha, the tilse maya, that's 2/3 salt and 1/3 water. That's very concentrated. That's the shear of mei melech azim. So lemay of delay, who would make such a highly concentrated salt water? What's the purpose of it? So Amar Rabbi Abba, limuraisi, it's used for muraisi, which is for fish. Somehow it's used for fish. I don't know what part of the fish, what it's used for.
For pickling fish.
Oh, so stop pickling fish. That's how they pickle fish. So Tanya Yehuda bar Chaviva, ein molchen snon, ubeit b'shabbos, a person cannot salt radish, nor can he salt eggs on Shabbos. Rav Chizkiya mishmei debai amar, snon aser, ubeit mutaris, he is mechalik, he thinks radishes cannot be salted, but you can salt eggs. The reason why is because when you salt them, you end up fixing them. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ein molchen snonu beitza, Rashi on 10 narrow lines down, Gimel v'dal chatichos yachad, 3 or 4 pieces together, Shemelech ma'avdan, it processes it, v'nas and kushin, makes them very hard, v'avitikun, it's a way of fixing it, so radish and eggs may not be salted on Shabbos, but Rabbi felt that you can't. Radish cannot be, but eggs can be salted on Shabbos. It apparently won't have such an effect on the eggs. So the Gemara then says, Vayter, that Amar Rav Nachman Meiresh have a Malchana Pugla. Initially, I used to salt Pugla's Tznon. It's radish in Aramaic. Amina Afsudei Kamasadile. I said, it ruins it. It's not masakin it. It's mafsid. Too much salt is ruining it, so it's allowed. Damar Shmuel says, Pugla Churfe Male. A radish is very sharp. It's actually good. So the salt actually removes, it extracts the sharpness. So the salt is detrimental to the radish, and therefore it's permitted. But Kevin de Shemana La Dechi Asa Ula, once I heard that when Ula came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar, he says, Bimarava, in the west, back in Eretz Yisrael, Ula reported, Malche Kishrei, they would oftentimes salt amounts of radish because it was actually good, it was beneficial, it enhanced the radish. Mimlech Lamalchine, I decided not to salt my radish anymore on Shabbos, but Tabule Vade Matabile, I would dip the radish into salt, but I wouldn't sprinkle the salt on top of the radish. So Tani Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva, Esrog, Tznon, Ubeita, and Esrog, he throws onto the list now along with the radish and an egg, Elmale, Klipasan, Hachitona, had not been for the outside peel, Einan, Yotim, Bibdei, Ma'ayim, Liolam, it would never leave the body at all because it had become so hard. These are just have things, nothing to do with salting at this point, it's just because it talks about a radish and an egg, so somehow the eggs, the shells and the peel helps protect it from allowing the body to process the food. So Kiasa, Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael. He reported, Amar, he says, Me'olam lotava gavra b'yama the stone. No one has ever drowned in the sea of the stone, which is Yam HaMelech. It's so salty, everyone floats to the top. So Amar of Yosef, hafucha stone, bafucha mila. He says, stone was turned over, and so everything about stone was flipped around. So So Gavra Hu Delo Tava, a person had never drowned in the Yam HaMelech, but Kshura Tava, but a beam of wood can sink to the bottom of Yam HaMelech. So Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says, Lo Mi Bai Karmar, no. Lo Mi Bai Kshura, Da Filu Bechol Meima Sheba Olam Lo Tava. So he said, no, not wood. Wood never sinks. Wood that's in any body of water will always float to the top. So needless to say, wood, which in general always floats to the top of a regular body of water, fresh water, ela filu gavri, even a person, the taba b'chol meimos sheba'olama, a person could sink in any body of water, but b'yama the stone, in the Yam HaMelech lo tava, in the salt water of the Dead Sea, he cannot sink. So l'may nafkamina, who cares? What's Rav Dimi telling us? Okay, great, a person can't sink. So what's the chiddush? Ki had the rabin hava shakil v'aza acharei, the Rabbi Yirmiyah. One time, Rabin was chasing after Rabbi Yirmiyah. Agud de Yam de Soma. They were on the riverbanks of the Yam HaMelech. Amrle, Rabin says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, "Malu mimshe mahani maya b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to bathe your eyes in the Dead Sea on Shabbos? Is that allowed, or is that considered a refuah?" Amrle, Shabbat Dami, you're allowed to, because that's a rechitza. It's bathing. It's not called a refuah. Rechitza is allowed without getting to the lachas of the gezer later on. But rechitza on Shabbos is allowed, but refuah on Shabbos is not allowed. So, can you open and close your eyes? I would not recommend this in the salt Dead Sea, but if one were to open and close their eyes, would that be allowed? Is that a form of refuah? Amarle, Zulo Shemati, I didn't hear this, but Kayotzi Bal Shemati, I heard something quite similar to this. Damar Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Zeir said, Zimnin Amarle Mishmeid the Rabbi Masa. Sometimes he'd quote Rav Masa to say this statement. Vizimnin Amarle Mishmeid the Mar Ukva. Sometimes he'd quote Mar Gukva to say this. But either way, it would always be Tavayu Mishmeid Avu the Shmuel Vulevi. But both of them was ultimately in the name of Avu the Shmuel, Shmuel's father, and also Levi, that combination. So the question who the middleman was, but Amrin they would say, Chan Amar, one of them, either Avu the Shmuel or Levi, one of them would say, Yain Besocha Ayin Aser, to put wine in the eye, inside the eye itself, as a form of refuah would be aser, but agav ha'ayin mutter, but on the outside of the eye, when the eye was closed, on the eyelid, that would be permitted. That's when one would say. B'chad amar, the other would say, rok tafel, to place rok tafel's saliva, that a person didn't eat anything all day. So if we didn't eat breakfast this morning, any saliva we have is called rok tafel. So to place rok tafel, afil agav ha'ayin aser, to put that type of saliva, what?
What's that
on the top of the outside of the eye, the eyelid. When the eye is closed, it's aser, afil agab ha'ayin aser. So one said wine, agab ha'ayin is mutter, on the outside of the eye is permitted. The other one said saliva, on the outside of the eye is aser. So tistayim, let's conclude. Davu the Shmuel, hudamar besocha ayin, yayin besocha ayin aser, but agab ha'ayin mutter. Let's conclude from the following statement, that Shmuel's father, Avu the Shmuel, was the one who reported that wine on the outside of the eye is acceptable. How do we know this? Why are we suggesting this? Midamar Shmuel, from the fact that Shmuel says, Shora adam pita b'yayin, v'nosa agab ha'ayin b'shabbos. A person could soak his bread in wine, that's normal. People do that, they eat it. So he could soak it in the wine, and then afterwards he could place it on his eyelid. The Sheminalei, Meman, how did Shmuel know this? Was it not? Lav the Shmilei mi'avua. The fact that Shmuel is reporting this, he must have heard this from his own father, Avu the Shmuel. So that's how we conclude. Avu the Shmuel said the Indian about the yayin, and therefore by process of elimination, it must be Levi who said the statement about the rok tafa, the saliva. But the Gemara says, according to your reasoning, Hadam or Shmuel, Shmuel himself says, rok tafel afila gabi ayin asr. You can't place saliva on your eyelid. The Shmilei Meman. Who did he hear this from? Ilema the Shmilei Meavua. He must have heard this from his father, no? So both statements are said by Shmuel. Did he not hear both of them from Avu the Shmuel? So you can't really say which one was sourced in Levi. Ela Levi v'lochada Amar. It must be Levi. And not one of them. Levi didn't say any of them. Ela chada Shmilei Meavua v'chada Shmilei Melevi. One he heard from his father, one he heard from Levi. But he didn't know which one came from his father and which one came from Levi. And let's finish off the daf now. Amar Mar Ukva, Amar Shmuel, he said that Shora Adam Kilorin, that a person is allowed to soak some type of herbs in water on Shabbos. And Me'erev Shabbos, from Erev Shabbos, V'nosan Agabe Einav B'Shabbos. So if he soaks it from Erev Shabbos, he could take it on Shabbos and place it on his eyelid. V'ner Choshish is not a concern of refuah. That's considered a normal way of using. Even a healthy person would do such a thing. Bar Leva, Havakai Kame. Bar Leva was standing in front of him, the Mar Ukva, in the presence of Mar Ukva. V'chazia Dehavi Mai Tepasach. But he saw, when he places Kilorin on top of his eye, he was opening and closing the eye. So Amri Lai says, Kuli Hai Vale Lo Shari Mar Shmuel. One thing to place the herb on the outside of the eye, but start opening and closing it and allow the herb to penetrate into your eye itself, that Shmuel wouldn't allow. So Shalach le Rabbi Yannai le Mar Ukva, he sent a message to Mar Ukva, Lishar Lamar, Mehanach Kilorin de Mar Shmuel, could you please send us some of that Kilorin from Shmuel? Shalach le, they sent it, Shadur Misharilach, I'll send it to you, Dulo Tema, Tar Ayn, and I want to send it to you, so you shouldn't say I'm stingy. Ela Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Tova Tipas Sonein, Shachris Urechitis Yadayim Reglayim, Bechamin Arvis, Mikol Kilorin Shebeol. But you should know, a drop of a little bit of cold water in the morning, in the eye, and bathing their hands and legs with warm water in the evening, all that is better than all the kilorin in the world. So I'll send it to you so you don't think I'm stingy, but I'm just telling you, it's better medical advice to wash your hands and feet and face in a proper time and a proper temperature of water. And finally, Tanya Nam Yehoch, the Baisa says, Amar Rav Muni, Rabbi Muna, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Tova Tibas Tzonin Shachwes Ruchitis Yadayim Raglam Arvis, Mikol Kilorin Shab Olam. We will stop here. Everyone have a good Chodesh and a wonderful day.